following program may contain coarse language, suggestive dialogue, and discussion of violent imagery and sexual situations. It is intended for mature listeners who can tell the difference between facts and opinions.
They blinded us with science on this episode of the Toonami Faithful Podcast. I am your host, Sketch, and with me I have...
Samurai Derail Medics.
And...
Editorial Writer, Laser Kid.
Oh, we've been putting off talking about the remaining episodes of Dr. Stone New World for a bit, but we're finally here to talk about that. But before we do that... we have an episode of Ninja Kamui to discuss, in which many interesting reveals occur, some of your theories have come to fruition. And some of my theories went up in smoke.
I feel like my theory was half right.
Yeah, I was like half right.
I don't even know what my theory was anymore, man.
I certainly didn't get what happened. The only thing I got was that it wasn't him. That's about it.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
So it's almost anticlimactic how they show this, because the first time that they reveal that Emma is Asuka, among other things, is they're showing Yamaji reaching out to his operatives around the city, and they do like a flash and you'll miss it of the two character profiles. And that's the first instance in which we absolutely know that Emma is Asuka, and Emma has been working against Aoza and the ninja organization. And then right after that, we see Higan in a very Saiyan pod type rehabilitation thing.
It's either a Saiyan pod or a Empire Strikes Back back to pod.
Seems perfectly timed with everything else that's been going on.
Man, yeah.
I know, man.
I mean, totally a coincidence, but...
but it was a nice shout out, though.
Yet it is
absolutely
or a homage.
Yeah, I do see it as an homage. And it is revealed that Emma is the one who saved Higan, not once, but twice. Those of you who thought that there was a reason that it was strange that Higan survived that whole thing and that those needles might have had something to do with it, you were correct.
Thank you. I said it. I said it
you
on
did.
The freaking podcast.
You did.
I said it.
I was Emma going, used her own special ninja technique to make it seem like Higan had died.
I thought it was Mari, but it wasn't. But it was someone else's ninja technique. So
no, it's not Mari. It's someone who Mari saved at some point. I kind of feel like they're just throwing out this information.
Does feel like that wasn't very well set up. It's suddenly, hey, by the way,
your wife saved me, and that's why I saved you. But it was too late to save your wife. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I don't have a problem. That last part makes sense, but
any yeah,
bit of foreshadowing to even
just,
a connection
just seems
would have been
awfully
nice.
Convenient.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll get something at some point, but right now it just kind of seems like, okay, so that happened.
It did happen, man. I mean, it was just fucking crazy. But I'm just so glad that some of my theories was right, though, man. Because, like, I don't know, man. Knowing about acupuncture and freaking pressure points and everything, man, and like just how certain things work with the human body, there are ways to make a human seem like they're dead for a period of time. And this was just like a fucking crazy reveal to me, man.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, I'm still entertained with Ninja Kamuya.
Oh, absolutely. It's quite the ride.
It is.
And yeah, it is interesting that Emma was the one who made sure that Higan would live. She says she has her own reasons for why she wants to take down Alza and the organization, but those aren't really gone into. Maybe we'll never know, because it doesn't look like she is necessarily going to live past the fight that she's having with Lil.
Yeah.
Hopefully she does, because that's an awful lot to be like, I was the orchestrator of all of this. I'm dead now. Blech.
It was me often. It was me all along.
Yes. And we also find out why the show is called Ninja Kamui.
Yes. Finally, I've been sitting here trying to figure it out this whole time. I'm like, okay, I know the term Kamui from X, but I don't think we're doing that. Well, there we go.
It's apparently just the name of the robot suit. Because so, now everybody's going to have a robot suit, and I don't know how I feel about that.
But I want to see the robo.
They're all ninja robots now. And they changed the opening sequence.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
That is nice.
So the thing that I was way off on was, Zai was not the guy over the phone. It was also Emma. It was Emma all along. She wore many, many hats. Also, she said that Emma's not even her real name, as we already know, because that's a fake ID. So maybe her name's Asuka. Maybe that's not even her name.
Oh, wait a minute. She got a fake ID? Maybe she's up in the club getting tipsy. If you know, you know. You youngest, I'm not even expecting you to understand what I just said or what that reference comes from.
Meanwhile, Jason and Mike have been staying at this rich person's summer home.
Oh, don't worry. They never come here. We're fine.
But interesting bit of timeline here. It's been 10 days since they were attacked, and Mike has been unconscious for 10 days. Jason mentioned that a doctor friend of his that, doesn't, it's very indiscriminate, helped him out. I wonder what doctor it could have been. Could it be the doctor from the second episode? I hope he comes back. I like that guy. It might not be him. In fact, it probably isn't. There's really no reason that it should be, but
it's probably Dio Brando.
It was me, Dio!
I'm sorry. I haven't been on in a while, people, so I'm going to cause some chaos and randomness tonight.
Plenty of random things occurring in this episode. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
But, we're about halfway there, and things are getting pretty out there. I wasn't not expecting things to turn so high tech.
I mean, like, I'm just enjoying the ride. It's actually been pretty good, you know?
Yeah, it's been interesting. It's definitely held my attention every single week, and I cannot say that for every single Toonami original, so there's that.
Yeah, I mean, it's things on Toonami that really don't hold my attention. I mean, and that's kind of like hard to do sometimes, especially when I enjoy a lot of things. But you know, hey, I guess not being able to drink alcohol, I got to consume something. God, man. Next. No, it's almost over with, man.
It's almost over.
Bro.
You can hang in there.
You got it, man. You got this.
Look here, man, I have the dang on. This will never freaking Shaolin monk anyway. That's that soldier training, man. Seriously. Yeah, people, I gave up alcohol and sweets for Lent. So, yeah. You want to know how many people I came close to taking out of this world? A lot.
I can't believe you said that out loud.
Hell, the only thing people gonna do is counsel me in hell. That might not be a bad thing.
Oh boy.
Hey, look, if people can counsel me in hell, like, it's not like I care, man. But you know, I am a little bit cautious of the things that I say on this podcast. I try to be family feeling for the little cheerings. That's a funny lie.
Well, there's nothing family friendly about not little Ren getting slaughtered in the first episode.
No.
Like,
look here, that was like the human version of Operation Done Wrong.
But of course, we can all logically see, even though it makes sense why Higan is angry at Emma for only saving him, we all be like, dude, there was no saving the others. It was too late, and also, look, they weren't just going to kill you. Mari was also a defector. You think they're just going to kill her and not also your kid? That doesn't seem like the kind of thing this organization does. Which is also sick, but...
Yeah, this organization kind of isn't exactly the greatest here.
No, and they'll let anybody become a ninja. Like Lil, who does it for the thrills.
I mean, sometimes you gotta do things for the thrills, man.
And considering that line he said about a hot dilf, I think we can confirm he's not bisexual. He's just gay.
It's all good.
Just gay.
If he likes his tube steak, man, then I am happy for him.
Oh, he likes his tube steak.
Apparently. Yeah.
He was very clever to figure out Emma's ruse.
Kind of
alluded to this before with her other car that had all the tech in it. Which, by the way, that car's coming back, because in order to hack, they need a computer. And Mike's like, oh, I know where we can get a computer. In the VW Bug.
Yeah.
Let's go the get
Volkswagen.
It.
Just make sure it doesn't transform on you, because we've got Ninja Robots. Transformers are the next logical step.
Look, the way that Emma could control all the tech around her, like, she takes Tech Ninja to a whole nother level.
Absolutely.
Hacking at the same time as fighting and using any kind of technology around to fight for her, that was so cool. Sending the trucks after him, sending the drones after him.
Man.
This was some good stuff, absolutely.
Exactly.
Definitely not lacking in the action department.
That shit,
Tokyo. And honestly, that's probably why, even when the story does something where I kind of tilt my head slightly, the action is so top tier here, minor story hits really aren't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
If they make a major story flub, that'll still be annoying, but they haven't done anything like that.
I'm still just kind of like, this is a lot of convenient things coming together that didn't necessarily all have to be orchestrated by the same person. So she better not be dead, because if she orchestrated all of this and is dead now, I'm like, well, why?
I don't actually think she's dead. Because she's like, I can't hold out much longer. And then that's immediately when Higan gets a message and says, screw that, I'm at 100%. Hi!
Yeah, he's had to sit out the fight this far because he needed to brain sync with the armor, the Kamui. And now he has risen once again.
It's like he's now the Lazarus from, man. Like a slow internet connection, and suddenly you get like a much faster connection. It's like, oh, that's a lot faster now.
Dude, from dial-up to fiber optics.
Yep, yep. He's going on dial-up and suddenly, oh, wait, I have broadband. Let's go! Yes, no.
I think we're going to confuse the kids again. You had to be there to understand the kids, especially if you knew about AOL.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I actually paid for AOL back in the day once.
Same, they stopped throttling the connection for a moment. Let's go!
All right! We found out how to break the throttling.
Well, I knew about... Never mind. I'm just going to keep that one PG this time.
We kicked the pirates off of the school network. Let's go!
Well, we did mess up a couple of SKU computers due to Kazaa and Napster.
I'm at least a little bit disappointed that Hegon's not going to be fighting these ninja robots without high tech, just because that's kind of a cool concept on its own.
That was a very interesting dichotomy of modern super robot ninja thing and old ninja ways. That was an interesting dichotomy going on there, where you have, you know, modern versus traditional, kind of like a Power Rangers Zio, if you will.
Right.
Well, sometimes you do have to evolve with the times, man. I mean, it's cool to use the old ways, but you can still implement the old ways.
Oh, yeah, I mean, combining it in, it does actually add an interesting element of the answer is both, which, hey, I mean, that's cool, too.
Both is good.
Like, you gotta have a symbiosis, man, like a symbiotic relationship with this kind of stuff, man, because like old and new working together can be a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, I kind of get where you come from, because think about it with Megalobox.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, he was basically taking guys down like without the machine, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, next thing we know, he find that next match with the machine. Oh shit, I can't remember the name of what they called it, but you know, we all know. But hey, sometimes, you know, you just want to prove that, hey, I can do this without the machine.
Wasn't it just called Gear?
I think it was just called Gear, yeah.
I remember there was an episode called Gear is Dead.
I mean, hey. The fact that he can hold his own with somebody using Gear?
Yeah, that's crazy. Awesome.
Metal exactly. Gear.
Solid. You know what, y'all's making me go on tirades with this stuff, man.
I mean, Lil really seems like a Metal Gear bad guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, this whole setup would work really well with a Metal Gear game. Maybe that's what they're doing for that Ninja Conway game.
Ah. Yeah, maybe. Probably not. It's probably going to be more like classic Ninja Gaiden.
I'm actually perfectly happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. Classic side-scrolling ninja action. I'm all about that.
So, like Metal Gear Revengeance.
Well, that's 3D.
True.
I believe this game is actually gonna be 2D, which certainly would help in the time restraints.
Yeah.
But, we haven't seen anything of that game yet, and we're halfway through the show. It's about time, don't you think?
And definitely at the point where I'm down for a Ninja Conway game.
Yeah. Though, considering it would be a prequel and it'd be all about them going on the ninja missions, I think it'd kind of make you feel sort of way.
You're like, dang it, I'm working for the bad guys. Are we the baddies?
Are we the baddies? Yes, we are.
I mean, sometimes it's just cool to be a Decepticon, man.
That's right. They got if they're anything like Cobra, they probably no, they're not.
I did talk about Cobra that last time.
You're dead. I'm bringing it up again.
Yeah.
No, Megatron does not treat the Decepticons.
Well, Decepticon rule is at least he doesn't just kill you; he just beats you up. At least in cartoon continuity.
I mean, look here, the Decepticon, in their defense, man, look here, they just like doing bad stuff at times, man. I get it. You know, you're tired of being good, man. For the good of the universe, screw that. we just want to cause chaos and be reckless.
Well, I mean, they're literally called Decepticons, and I know at least a couple times in the old show they actually make comments like, well, they don't call them Decepticons for nothing. I'm like, well, I guess that's true.
Deception.
You know what? I need to get that up put on a t-shirt, though. Sometimes it's just cooler to be a Decepticon, or it's more fun to be a Decepticon. Yep, gonna guys, my big sister, make that for me now.
How about Decepticons have more fun?
Do we have a copyright on that?
Don't know.
Goddamn, these damn tangents.
Those darn copyright laws, they're more than meets the eye.
They're lawyers in disguise?
Oh, good. Lawyers in disguise.
With those hidden fees.
Oh,
gosh.
I mean, you literally gonna transform and pay out.
Wow. You're on a roll.
He's certainly rolling out.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Enough about those robots, more about these robots. So, even though I am at least a bit disappointed that we've already brought the stakes up to the point where we gotta get Higan into a ninja robot suit, it is a cool ninja robot suit, don't get me wrong.
It is. Like,
give me... Where's the model?
Like, can I get that in the samurai
version? Shut up and take my money. Yeah, well, like, the mask is really samurai-esque, so...
Yeah, it is, but I just need a little bit more on the samurai side, you know, in certain aesthetics, but I know I would still rock that even in the ninja form, though, man.
I mean, Emma/Asuka's robot had, like, the hat.
It did.
Yeah, had the Kabuto.
Yeah. Some of those designs are pretty good.
They were. I will not lie about that.
But, I don't know. I guess they kind of explain it away as in Higan's way out of his league if he keeps fighting against them as he is, which is kind of a downer, because he seemed like a one-man wrecking crew for a moment there.
He really was, though, man. Higan is strong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like that boy
scrawl. I'm confident he could take any of those guys one on one in their robot suits.
Oh,
it's just when they
absolutely
gang up on him. That's where it gets to be a bit too much for him to handle.
Yeah.
Though maybe he would have done better in that fight if he wasn't hyper fixated on trying to get Yamaji.
Yamaji! Okay, guy, come on. You gotta go through the appetizer before you go for the dinner.
Yeah, you should know this. It's not that... It's like, what do you think's gonna happen? Oh, you killed Yamaji? You think everybody's just gonna not kill you afterward?
Oh, he killed the boss. All right, it's over, guys. Let's go camping.
Though the reality is, he doesn't care if he lives. Which is in stark contrast to, apparently, the final wishes of his wife. Which was that she wanted him to live on and be happy.
Dude, his happiness is gone, man. She was part of his happiness.
Yeah.
Dude, his wife was a freaking baddie, man.
Oh, she definitely was.
I mean, like, shoot, dude. I ain't gonna lie, man. I would be like him, man. No, this is a cruel world. When I'm gonna find another baddie like that?
Not gonna be easy.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine this story having a happy ending.
Not the kind of happy ending people want it to have, but, you know, it is what it is. But the thing is, I really do like more of a realistic ending, man, than sometimes the little, you know, little bubblegum happy endings, man.
Yeah.
I would actually take a nice bittersweet ending out of this if we can get one.
Agreed.
But I will never accept the ending like we got with Aldnoa Zero.
What?
That shit.
Never actually watched that one.
Good, don't.
sounds like a waste of time.
It does, based on that brief description there.
Don't worry, Pepperidge Farm knows what I'm talking about.
They got that new Gundam Seed movie, but I'm like, how can we come back from Destiny, really?
I love Gundam Seed. I love Gundam Seed to death. I wish it was an alternative continuation after instead of Destiny. That's what I wish they would do.
Yeah, right?
Because I do love Seed. Only. Seed's great. Then there's Destiny.
We're not going to talk about Destiny, sir.
No. No, we're not.
Not more than we already have. Ugh. Just leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Dude, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth like fucking Jägermeister, and I fucking hate that shit.
I'll probably still try to see that movie, though.
No, you don't need to watch it.
I probably will, too, because when I say I love Gundam Seed, I'm not kidding. I really like Gundam Seed.
Oh, God, what's wrong with y'all?
Because Gundam Seed is good. It's just Destiny is garbage.
I'm sorry, man.
It seems like it's at least focusing on Kira and Lacus. Yes.
Well, that's what you should do.
Though I have one complaint is that they did that Dune homage poster. I was like, why isn't that Kigali with Kira? Would have made so much more sense for a Dune homage.
Yeah.
Whatever. Just a nitpick.
Yeah, details.
Details. Oh, it seems like in the next episode of Ninja Kamui, Higan's going to try out his new robot suit and, I don't know, maybe put the little guy out of his misery.
And put him out of our misery, at least.
Yeah, all right. Oh, boy, that guy.
You know you love to hate him.
In the previous episode, I was like, he's kind of toned down the double entendres. Oh, no, we're right back to it.
Yeah, it was taking a break so that it could come back with further intensity.
Yeah, come back with a lot more intensity. Yeah. And, jeez. You know, this guy, he really doesn't care about anything other than the hunt and getting what he wants. Because there's been like three times when they're having a conversation amongst the bad guys, and he's like, who cares about that? Who cares about that? Who cares about that?
Well,
obviously not him. They do.
They do. He doesn't.
Not him. I'd say he doesn't give a fuck, but obviously he gives a lot.
Oh my.
Or at least he'd like to.
Wait, question is, he okay? I see me.
You know, he thinks himself an Uke. But I bet. All right.
I think Darrell has broken us.
He's hacked in and spread the virus.
Yeah.
It's what I do, gentlemen. It's what I do. I mean, come on now. You gotta look at this. I mean, dude looks like he's just a dang on power bottom.
Yeah. Oh, God. This is a bit of a questionable logic to hear. If Mike has been out for 10 days, that means that Higan's been out for 10 days, which means they've been rolling around in that truck for 10 days.
Well, that's how they got found, then. The only truck that kept moving for 10 days? You didn't take a stop at any point for gas or anything?
I mean, man, I'm thinking about that, like, 10 days. Did y'all even wash y'all ass?
Why didn't you leave the city? Oh, maybe that's easier said than done.
Also, they're going to have to come back in at some point anyway, because Higan's going to want to come back in. You're already in.
Well, yeah. Good point. Well, I guess that'll do it for Ninja Kamui. And as always, if you have additional theories, if there's even any more that can be had, you can throw them at us at hashtag Toonami Talkback or at podcast@ToonamiFaithful.com. And with that, we return to a different battlefield where we find out who is the one, the last man standing between Senku and the nefarious Ibarra. Spoiler, it's going to be Senku.
What, you mean the series doesn't end right here?
What? It doesn't?
No.
Bad guy doesn't win?
No.
Man.
So Ibarra is walking around being like, hey, I'm the only one here. Sometimes my own intelligence even impresses myself. And then suddenly, he wasn't alone.
Yeah, when you have to say a line like that, you've lost.
You've already lost.
It's already a flag.
I am so smart, I impressed myself. You gave yourself a death flag, guy.
You did. Or at least a petrification flag. So, in the previous episode, there was a moment where Chrome was coming up with a way for Senku to survive all of this really on the fly. And his plan was to have everybody line up in a certain interval so that Senku knows how far away the beam is because he'll understand how much time he has. Okay, great plan. The one thing I don't buy, Senku having the arm strength and the precision to throw it at just the right time with just the right amount of momentum.
That is a good point.
He is not much of an athlete. I'm just going to be honest. Nope. And we all know this. Dude did not spend much time in the gym at all. He has no gains.
Nope. No gains. But he manages to pull it off, which is good, because if only part of him got revived, that would be bad. That would be very bad.
But then again, you got to look at this through anime logic and physics. Senku probably used some type of, to get it to where he needed to. He probably knew how much force he needed to exert and at what time, because he was probably running those calculations as this was going on.
Yeah. And I totally believe he could come up with those calculations. The thing I just don't believe is that he'd be able to physically pull it off. But maybe if he didn't have to throw it very far.
With enough adrenaline going, man, trust me. I'm pretty sure he was pumping some adrenaline and had some dopamine going. So we're going to say that he got a nice little adrenaline rush to do what he needed to do.
Sure. Good enough.
Okay.
So it's a good standing town in Ibarra and making this big talk about how it's going to be a battle of gods with them as the proxies. And he has to get the Medusa away from Ibarra, and he implements several tricks in order to do so, including reinventing the self-driving car, as he calls it. That's a bit of a stretch, but still fairly impressive road impressive mechanism nonetheless. And he thinks that he got Ibarra right there. But no! Ibarra had body armor. Okay. He is very, very prepared for what have you. So now it's a kind of a slow chase because Senku's been wounded. Ibarra stabbed his arm. And they chase through the forest, and at some point, Senku throws a bunch of beakers at various things, and Ibarra's like, what are you doing? It's such a pointless thing to do. Oh, but there was a reason. Because you didn't notice when he threw one of those bottles of revival fluid, not that you would know what it was, in the general direction of his comrades, and it hit a certain someone. So as they are fighting over the Medusa and it's about to go off from a 5-second timer, Ryusui appears and has used the drone to snatch it out of the air, as was plan A.
Indeed.
But unfortunately, Ibarra does win the tug of war and retrieves the Medusa again, so it's up to Ryusui to sacrifice himself to save Senku, and he gets petrified again! This guy.
Gosh.
Petrified, unpetrified, re-petrified, unpetrified, re-petrified.
Yeah, this guy has a lot of faith.
I mean, it's just like an endless waltz, man.
And that manages to get the transmitter earring close enough to the Medusa that it actually works, because for some reason it wasn't close enough before when Senku tried to do that with the speaker on the roaming lab. But it works if it's close enough. And that petrifies Ibarra for good.
Yay!
He got stoned.
Oh, that dude's been stoned the whole show.
I really despise him, though, man.
I think you're supposed to, and I'm pretty sure everybody hates that guy. He's a very hateable villain.
Very, very hateable. It's as if they wanted to make sure that he was hateable enough that you wouldn't have any hostility towards anybody else underneath him.
Yeah. Dude.
I had no hostility. Like, other people are actually redeemable, man. He was not. Period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this dude manipulated everything because he was jealous, greedy, and just downright foul.
And he was. Going as far as trying to kill a child, petrifying the leader of the village. Just an awful, awful dude. And a huge perv as well. Just to add to the scumminess.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to bring it up, man, because I'm pretty sure that that counts as SA what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing more I hate than those type of people. Dude, literally, if I would have seen the statue, man, I would have literally broke his balls off. Yeah.
Ah, yes, turn him into a eunuch.
Yep.
Yes. And we can ship him off to another anime. Go see how he does in the Inner Palace.
Oh, no, I don't want him anywhere near Mau Mau.
You know what? You make a very good point. Although, I think Mau Mau would kill him.
Yeah.
In due time. In due time. Man. Apothecary Diaries is so good.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely
wish that was on Toonami.
Me too. Like that and Frieren.
Oh, oh yeah.
So Frieren has been fucking awesome. That's man.
Best anime of the year for those two, honestly.
Mm.
Just don't let it go, dear fucking mimics, man.
You know what? That's what we do with this guy. Let him go see if it's a mimic or not, and then just see what happens.
Please let it bite his nuts off. I'm sorry, man, but I feel
if
like
the clone of I'm sorry. If the clone of Frieren has all of her weaknesses, just go find a mimic.
Exactly.
Problem solved. Why are you even giving this that much thought? But whatever. So, as the last man standing, Senku has a moment when he thinks, I'm all alone again. And that is quickly interrupted by a phone call, because he's not all alone. There's a whole other island of people waiting to contact him. And there's a message from Ruri, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm not alone.
You are not alone. Open up your... Okay, that's enough referencing other anime.
Sheesh.
It's okay.
So now it's time for Senku to revive his comrades using the revival fluid. But he makes a point to say, it's kind of a logic puzzle, because if you don't do it in the right order, you'll starve. So first he wakes up Chrome, then he wakes up Amaryllis to figure out where food is, and they get Taiju so that they have somebody to do the heavy lifting. And then when it comes time for cooking, of course, Francois. It's very nice that Francois is totally willing to do the cooking even when Ryusui is still a statue.
Francois is a real one, man.
Goes to show that they are not only devoted to Ryusui.
Exactly.
On the other hand, what helps Ryusui's comrades helps Ryusui. So,
look, he is a greedy man without being greedy, because he still wants people to get the limelight while he still gets credit as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just put it like this. I'm just going to use this reference. He believes in the equivalent exchange, man.
He's an alchemist?
In a way, yes.
In a way.
Dude is like, dude has the fucking Midas touch, man. I would put it like this, man. His damn human resources and personnel gathering skills are fucking impeccable.
It's true. He's an invaluable asset.
Exactly. Dude, the fact that he just, like, I mean, Senku got the people together too, man, but Ryusui took it to another fucking level.
He did? Well, I mean, he introduced actual capitalism. Not modern capitalism, but real capitalism.
Ah, yes, the somewhat not corrupt form of capitalism.
Yes, idealistic capitalism, let's put it that way.
It's the kind of capitalism where everybody profits, man.
Which is what it should be, but
we know what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm like, run me my motherfucker.
I'm not going to go too deep into that rabbit hole, but yeah.
Too late, I took the red pill, damn it.
Dang it, Alice.
He's got to wake up Katsuki and some other heavy lifters so that they can repair all the stuff that was busted up on the Perseus, because, of course, these islanders are like, well, we can't use this, let's just trash it.
Oh, well, we don't understand it. Break it!
Jerks. They also revive everybody that's on the island, except for Ibarra, and as far as I could tell, they did not revive the two wild cards. Probably a good call.
Yeah. They are indeed the wild cards.
Like, super wild.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude, they are like literally a human form of Russian roulette. You just don't fucking know.
Yeah. You don't want to mess with that if you don't have to.
Don't tempt fate unless you have to.
They both seem to be pretty reserved to the fact that they're probably not waking up again. Though, I doubt that's actually the case. Their talents will come into use. For even a talent for killing...
I shall...
must be delivered to the world.
Sometimes you just gotta... Just have to deliver people, man.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna laugh at the manga reader here. which I won't be able to do for much longer because we're catching up to where I was. But
Interesting.
Well, I always said I never had a problem sending in the right people to Jesus.
I mean, Jesus loves everyone. So if you can't be loved by me, maybe Jesus got you.
Yep, Jesus got your back because I showed up.
Pray for the Lord's mercy, for you will get none from me.
There you go.
Kill them all. Let God sort them out.
Yes, classic.
I can't lie. That has been my kind of motto at times. They was like, "You are a cruel man." Yes, I am indeed. I am selectively cruel.
Now, Senku, on the other hand, will make use of anybody, friend or foe.
If he revives.
All the islanders, and also that interesting statue that Taiju found while gathering everybody else up. They revive this gentleman and find out that he was on this island much, much earlier than the rest of them, and they pointed out that he had the symbol, the the Medusa symbol on his arm, and that's kind of why they decided that he should probably use that he would probably have some information on the Medusa. And sure enough, there apparently were many, many Medusas at one point, but all but one of them were destroyed. Probably a good call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we see absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So they get the radio up and running again so they can reach out to Ruri, because Krom comes to the conclusion, hey, Ruri isn't the type to just reach out for no reason, so we should find out what that's about. Also, good thing Ruri didn't call any earlier.
Yeah.
Definitely would have ended badly. Just saying. Little convenient there.
Bit of luck. It happens.
She was contacting them because of the Y-Man transmission and trying to figure out what's up with that. Speaking of the Y-Man.
The Y-Man.
Supposedly, we have to figure that this is the Y-Man, interrupts their call with Ruri in attempts to command the Medusa to activate a blast of... How many...
The
entire size of the Earth. Forget the exact number.
I don't remember the exact number either. The circumference
of the Earth.
Yeah, I was about to say the circumference.
Yeah. Which, that would be bad if it actually had set it off, but thankfully it wasn't too close to the receiver. As we know, it doesn't work unless it's close enough. But the really peculiar thing, the really disturbing thing, is it sounds like Senku. Is Menka Senku been sentient all this time?
The
is
true the villain! Y-Man? The true villain of the story, Mecha Senku.
You know what? That would be so shonen. I'd love it.
Well, you know, instead of a ninja robot, we've got a scientist. A ninja science.
Yeah, we got a Robo Senku. Well, no, Ukyo points out that the uncanny valley effect of the voice is it's like a Vocaloid. It's a computer generated voice. AI, doggone it!
What, Hatsune Miku?
Dang it, AI really is the end of all of us.
It's trying to petrify the world. But we learned that AI is trying to destroy the world.
But that's been an anime for years, man. Like, even with Robotech and Macross.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. This is not new, but it's kind of an interesting use of AI voice faking. Seems a little topical, honestly.
Yeah, it's good old deep faking.
Hey, dude, they catfishing even in the future like this.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So clearly the Y-Man means business. Has very hostile intent. But they got to figure out where the transmission's coming from. So they build a parabolic antenna to track the Y-Man signal. And the long and the short is, it's on the frickin' moon. They got to go to the moon.
We're whalers on the moon. We have a harpoon.
And I got a harpoon.
Oh, yes. Of course. Ginro's the one that needed to be revived, right? I'm always mixing those two up.
Let me see. I want to say, I think Gin is supposed to be gold, right? And Kinro is silver. I always get a fucking mixed up, man.
Ginro. It's Ginro. Okay. So Ginro is revived along with Kohaku. And Ginro wastes not even a moment before he turns into a creep.
Yeah.
But that moment between Senku and Kohaku, it's not necessarily romantic, but these two have a very strong bond.
Yeah.
There you go. It's fine. I mean,
but it could also be romantic, and I'm shipping them.
I could support that ship.
I will go down with this ship.
Ooh. Well, they are on a boat.
Ah, true. True. After Ginro has been revived and they're starting to train, we also get a neat little fight between Kohaku and Kurosame. Which Kurosame's fighting with brushes? And holding her own against Kohaku using a sword. It's like, I feel like you were holding back before. Oh, that's rude. I wasn't holding back. It's just the dress was a little bit more restricting. I'm not sure how. Doesn't she's seem a like tomboy. It was restricting anything.
Dude, she's a tomboy. She's not used to moving in a dress, man.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's a funny feeling to have a dress that's longer than what she used to wear.
Is it longer?
Yeah, it was longer. I mean, like, seriously, dude.
I thought it was shorter.
It was a little bit longer.
Or, like, about the same. Definitely a different cut, so maybe it's overall tighter. Mm-hmm. It was a bit form-fitting.
Yeah. That restricted some movement, man. I'll put it to you like this, man. It's like when I put on my spring shorty versus me putting on my regular wetsuit, the long wetsuit, man, the long john, on the top long john. Because the thing is, the spring shorty is basically like a short set. So basically, I have a little bit more range of movement and freedom, and it's not as restricting. But that's more for warm weather. But like this, my long john is more so for, like, you know, if I'm going to be in colder waters or, you know, going a little bit deeper, you want to wear that. But the thing is, before I got acclimated to actually moving in that, it was restrictive to me. So, you know, as opposed to, like, if I'm not wearing anything all in the water. So my movement is definitely different in the water depending on what I have. So that's what I'm looking at, like, with Kohaku. Basically, what she had on was just not... She wasn't used to it, so it was restricting her movement and range of motion.
Mm.
If that makes any sense.
It does.
Thank you.
So, sorry for the
stupid eye braces, folks.
Nah. It was interesting. It's a good comparison. So, the plan that they have to implement in order to get to the moon, which, as you could imagine, would be quite the accomplishment in the stone world, is it's going to involve collecting skilled people and materials from all over the world. So in order to do that, they need allies. And it only makes sense that you can't just ask these islanders to go right along with that because they just got over being... manipulated by a dictator that they, you know, yeah, probably not lining up to be ruled again, as it were.
One but to rule them all.
The true successor to the kingdom is right there, willing to take up the position. So Soyuz decides to become the new master and becomes the intermediary between the islanders, and they become allies of the Kingdom of Science, and they build a big radio tower. And in order to win over the islanders to their cause, Senku finally decides to unleash fireworks in the stone world. And everybody's so in tune with what Senku's up to, they're like, oh, we're going to make a festival with cotton candy and ramen and sushi and all other modern pleasures. But I really like what Gen says to Soyuz about fireworks and how they're symbolic and significant to Japanese culture. And that Senku could have reintroduced them at any point, but he chose to do so right now, right here. So it's a beautiful sentiment.
You might say that, baby, you're a firework.
Nice.
Time to let your colors burn. And it's also a fun callback to Chrome's magical color rainbow fire.
Indeed.
Chrome is freaking awesome, though, man.
He is. He is.
I mean, he's basically what Senku was for them until Senku actually got there.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like, he's finding out a lot of stuff on his own, though, man, without the help of Senku. Because he is a man of science also.
That's true. He has quite the brilliant mind of his own.
Indeed.
One could only wonder what he might have come up with if he was born in a modern era.
No telling, man. That dude would be dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he picks up real fast, so I'd say we're pretty close to what he would be anyway.
The fact that he was able to find materials, man, by, you know, doing the sonar stuff, man, that was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. And we get a nice flashback moment to when Senku first saw fireworks with Byakuya and how different their appreciations towards fireworks were. Byakuya's being more of the typical ooh and ah, isn't it pretty, isn't it cool? And Senku thinking about all the materials that went into building it and the artistry into building it.
He's a realist.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to say that Byakuya is the realist, though, man. That dude literally sold his car to set Senku on the path, though. Best dad ever, man.
Mm-hmm. And we get another nice moment between Senku and Kohaku standing on the beach, reminiscing. Again, I ship it.
I feel like you're supposed to, honestly.
It is, however, kind of unintentionally or intentionally hilarious that he might end up with the sister of his very shortly betrothed.
Look here, man. Look here. Look here. Chrome deserves
you got worries, married man. And divorced? I loved Taiji's reaction. Oh, it's like, God. It was like 3 minutes, dude. Relax.
Dude, that wasn't even long there.
Insert Zenitsu screaming somewhere.
I hate that, dude. I really hate Zenitsu.
Zenitsu like, you divorced a girl that hot?
That is
how
wrong
could
with
you do that?
This is Senku, man. What do you expect?
Yeah.
Exactly what I expect for a Senku.
Yes. It's also a kind of silly thing in here that the guy from long, long ago that they revived, Matsukaze, sees Ginro and immediately thinks that he's his master from way back when. And Ginro's like, well, I'm not him, but I'm probably his reincarnation, so you should swear your loyalty to me.
I swear, man, Ginro is such a trash bag, man, but you can't help but love him, man, for some of the stuff he does.
And now he's gone way over the top now. He's like, oh, you need a powerful warrior? Well, why don't you just use my servants? It's like, quit being so smug all the time, dude.
That's the reason why he ain't getting under the ladies.
Mm-hmm. Well, time to leave the island, but they also need to figure out who's going to be on their strike team to get up to the moon. They're like, well, we should have a tournament. Just Mago's like, we should have a tournament so that we can determine who is the strongest. And Senku's like, nah, bro, we already know.
The power yes. team is really freakishly strong, though, man.
It's time to thaw out Tsukasa.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the Medusa's power is running out. That's probably the primary reason why the old master of the island said never to use it on a huge area.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing is running very, very low on juice. So low, in fact, that Senku didn't bother to petrify his arm and heal it. How would that even work? He would just never like... Oh, I suppose he could make the effective area very, very small. Eh, whatever. Just seems like more of a two-person kind of job than a one-person, but sure, whatever. So they go back to the island, and they're like, yeah, we have it. Revival fluid and the petrification device. It doesn't have much battery, but we have it. And all of the people on the island are like, wow, all their marks are gone. That must mean that the petrification thing worked. Yeah, pretty cool.
It is actually pretty cool when you think about it.
So we have some purely shonen power of friendship and love will prevail. Just the slightest chance that the Medusa's power will be enough to revive Tsukasa. And they pull it off. He wakes up. And he immediately is like, all right, what's the situation? Nah, Tsukasa, we missed you. You don't miss a beat. And Senku says, well, you see, we gotta go to the moon. And even Tsukasa's a bit taken back by that, but comes to composure pretty quickly.
Look at dude. I say being petrified, pretty much nothing fazes you at that point.
Yeah. He was still at least a little bit surprised. Probably wasn't... If he was conscious through any of that, he probably wasn't thinking, when he wakes me up, it's to go to the moon. Maybe. But yeah, he's up. He's moving, and immediately Matsukaze is like, I can sense this man is very strong. I will battle him to see which of us is stronger. And Tsukasa's like, all right, let's go, bro. Right now. And Tsukasa wins. Just in case. We did see a moment. Now, it was a sneak attack, more or less, so we can't really read too much into it, but he did fight his way through both Kohaku and Kirasame, so clearly this guy is very strong. Very skilled, at least.
Hey, look, sometimes skill can overcome strength, man. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And about how strong he is, it's about what you can do with those skills, man, because you can always find a way from them.
Indeed.
It's kind of why I have so much respect for Marines. Just overcoming the... Well, adapt to overcome the... No, let's see, what was it? Let's see, adapt, overcome, whatever the hell they say. Adjust, overcome, and adapt, whatever the hell they do. Adapt, adjust, and overcome, something like that. You know, as I said, I'm not a Marine, so jar heads.
And something else that feels very shonen, because Senku is the only one that still has petrification scars, everyone else recreates their own scars as war paint, vowing to remove them once they defeat the Y-Man.
That works.
But what about the Who-Man?
Taiju gets his very wrong at first. And then Senku's like, all right, so we need a roadmap of, and it has to be 3D, of all the places we're going to go on the globe. So, Katsuki, Yuzuriha, you just get on that. Something simple. Just bang it out. And they're like, that stinker. Does he even know what he's saying?
He does.
That gets me all fired up. So they make quite the globe. And also quite the room to display it in. With like a giant robot on it.
Yeah, boy.
And we got robots all day, apparently.
Mm-hmm. So they gotta go all around the world and get people and stuff to start to build their space program. And Ukyo's like, hey, remember Dunbar's number? The theory suggesting a group can only function with less than 150 people. So we should probably think about that. They realize they can't revive too many people, or chaos will ensue. But they really just kind of have to risk it. They got to go place to place, revive as many people as they can, and build up society as they go. And they decided one of the first places, if not the first place they will go, will be to the United States.
Worst place in the world to go.
Because they gotta get them some corn.
We making whiskey? Moonshine? Yeah,
gotta make some alcohol to make thousands of gallons of revival fluid. And also they can eat the corn.
Yeah. I still say it's a good opportunity to make some moonshine, though. It's a good old corn liquor. I'm not gonna say corn liquor. I'm gonna say corn liquor, people. I'm gonna use my southern drawl a little bit today. Because I don't sound like Cletus the Slack John Yoakum.
And Ginn points out that that one time when they lied saying that the United States was up and running, well, they could make that lie a reality.
What, you think it's the postman?
Now, Tsukasa's been revived. And knowing Tsukasa, you might think that there is somebody on the team that he would not get along with at all. And he wouldn't be too thrilled about the introduction of capitalism.
Hey! Yeah.
But it seems he has an understanding, and he's not going to do anything to our dear Ryusui. And Ryusui once again making those lofty claims of wanting everything, every woman, every man, everything.
Everywhere, all at once.
Wants Tsukasa.
You gotta look at it with Ryusui, man. Even as a kid, man, they gave him pocket change, which for a rich person, and he still made it do what it did. And the people with him, man, they were actually prospering right along with him, man. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. He believes in spreading the wealth, man.
Yeah. Tsukasa may have found the first rich person he doesn't hate.
Because I know I do hate rich people.
Eat the rich.
Yes. Only costs $500 to make a guillotine, people.
I don't know that you want to really eat those guys. They're probably full of diabetes.
But their fat is so rich in
marble. That's true.
We can just feed them sharks.
That's always been my concern with that statement. I'm like, you guys want to make yourself sick?
That's a good point there. Well, we have to decide who actually is worth eating, man. But the rest we'll just use for shark chum.
Something like that.
Hey, I guess you could feed the rich to the sharks. Although, do you really want to hurt the sharks that badly?
No, I don't. I don't want to hurt the sharks.
I actually like sharks.
They're an important part of the ecosystem.
They really are.
Unlike the rich.
Yes.
We gotta get off this tangent like right now.
I know.
So that is the end of this season of Dr. Stone. And when it returns, straight to the moon.
I knew it was coming.
To the moon.
All right, Jackie Gleason.
I mean, not straight to the moon. They got some steps along the way.
Right,
so
to the moon.
Considering it will be the last season, and there's still quite a bit of story to cover. Yeah, we're in for some speed up, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't be Food Wars bad.
I'm just hoping that they just, you know, make the season really long.
Well, that is a possibility, but...
Like, honestly, the manga's been over, so if they want to just go ham through until they're done, I'm going to go for it.
I don't really expect more than 25 episodes, but it'd be cool if they could do 39 or 50.
Yeah.
They could. Please don't ruin this at the end.
Don't do Final Act.
Yeah.
Don't do Neverland Season 2.
Oh, really, don't do that.
Attack on Titan.
I mean, you shouldn't do Attack on Titan for a number of reasons, but...
No. No Attack on Titan, man.
I don't feel like Attack on Titan was rushed.
Yeah. They just didn't know when they were done. It's like, it's the very final.
Very, very, very final.
That's kind of what turned me off.
I'm so glad that is...
I dropped it. I literally dropped it because of that, man. Because I'm like, shit. I can't continue to do this. You know, I stuck with it for this long, but, you know, I normally don't drop nothing. Yeah, I dropped that shit.
I had the worst joke the other day while I was watching the DBZ Kai marathon when Raditz is like, it'll probably take us less than a month to between the three of us to eradicate the entire Earth population. I'm like, less than a month?
So it's gonna be, man,
Aaron
episodes?
Yeager has you beat.
Ooh.
Well, it took him a couple of days, didn't it?
It only took a couple of days for wiping out... all but 20, yeah, 80%. So I think maybe one more day could have done the rest.
Yeah.
Well, or maybe it could have even happened even sooner, because technically it started. If he wanted to wipe out Eldia too, or wipe out Parody rather, he definitely could have done that. So yeah, you definitely would have beat that timeline. They're not very efficient.
No, that's how Saiyans like to fight, man.
I suppose they don't have Titans. There's only three giant monkeys among them.
Azuru.
Yeah, I watched that marathon. I only nodded off once. It was 3 hours ahead for me, though, so that's kind of cheating.
Yeah, that helps.
Cheater.
Episode 8 is not the best place to stop. It's like, oh, we've been training for the battle. The battle's just about to begin. Whoops.
And we're done.
Again, why I would have preferred if they had done some kind of, like, best of... or just like specific episodes in any for any reason. They didn't even make new bumps. Except they did make an intro, which was appreciated. Very nice intro spoken by Tom.
Yeah.
Good job, Steve Bloom. As if I ever have to say good job to you.
But it's fun to say, and it's polite.
It's polite. It's appreciated. But yeah. We are not talking about Akira Toriyama in this episode. I'm not sure when we're going to release that conversation, but we have it planned, and it might come out before or after this one. But this is the primary episode of the week, so...
It's in the future!
Welcome to the podcast of the future!
Yes. Exactly. With all the science. You think this is the future? This is the past! Oh. And if you got that reference, you're up to date with One Piece manga. Anyway.
I always like prefer "Welcome to the world of tomorrow."
I do love that bit in Futurama.
I've just been giving a lot of quotes and off tangent stuff today.
Nah, it makes it fun.
That's right. It does make it fun.
Yeah, you know, I'm barely on the podcast these days, so I got to spice it up when I'm here.
True, true. Well, I think that'll do it for this conversation, unless you guys have anything more to add.
I have nothing to add, sir.
Nor I.
It was a solid season. I quite enjoyed it.
As did I.
Dr. Stone continues to be very good.
It's one of the best adaptations I've seen.
Let's hope it stays that way.
Yes, let it, please, please.
Ugh. Don't mess it up at the end. You're so close. That would be painful. If you have any thoughts on Dr. Stone or anything else, you can email us at podcast@ToonamiFaithful.com or use the hashtag ToonamiTalkback. You can follow us on Facebook.com/ToonamiFaithfulPodcast or on Twitter @ToonamiPodcast. You can listen to the podcast on just about everything, including Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Deezer, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Overcast, PodBay, PodBean, Podcast Addict, Radio.com, Spotify, and the TuneIn app. You can find every episode of the podcast to stream online at soundcloud.com/ToonamiFaithfulPodcast and get the latest news by following @ToonamiNews on Twitter and read the news, views, and reviews on ToonamiFaithful.com. Laser, tell them where they can find you.
Well, you can find me on Twitter @LaserKidPrime. You can find me on the Blue Sky @LaserKid. And specifically right now, I'm going to plug a friend's podcast I guested on. I am on the most recent episode of my friend Wildfire's Nerds, the New Sexy Entertainment episode, where we cover live-action One Piece, and we briefly talk about Toriyama. Not nearly as much as we'll probably be talking about it here, but we do mention it.
You already talked about live-action One Piece on somebody else's podcast?
I was asked. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I have plenty more to say, so.
Okay, good. As long as the well hasn't run dry.
Oh, no. This is not like Demon Train where I talked about it like 8 times.
Right. So yeah, we're still going to do that conversation about live action anime adaptations. We just got to
figure out when we're going to do that. On it. Plus, I didn't get to say as much as I wanted, so I got one.
Oh, all right. Very good. Very good. And don't worry, we're not ignoring Licorice Recoil. We'll get back to that soon. And Demon Slayer is about wrapped up, too, so we'll be talking about that again, though that might wait because there's not really an urgency to get around to that. So, lots of things coming up. Hopefully, you will enjoy listening to them. And Mr. Jarrell, tell our listeners where they can find you.
At no one's bar, then I can tell you that much. Nah, but actually, you can find me at Kami_Samurai7@Twitter.com. And basically, this is where I'm at. I really don't do a lot of social media for real anymore, people.
What, it's you don't just, like window shopping at bars?
Dude, that is fucking heartless.
I go into bars and don't drink alcohol all the time.
Dude, I go, look here, my idea of window shopping is going to the fucking liquor store, man, and seeing what I'm going to buy right then and there. which is something.
I see it through the window, then I go in and I buy it. That is how I window shop.
Exactly. But yeah, I really don't do social media as much anymore, but, you know, if I'm not working or diving, then, you know, I'm just chilling and probably causing mayhem somewhere.
True that. And you can find me on Twitter @Sketch1984, and I'm also on Blue Sky Sketch1984. And we would like to thank you again for listening. We hope you enjoyed this conversation about Ninja Kamui and Dr. Stone New World. And we hope you will enjoy our other conversations coming up. I've been really good. I've been putting a podcast out on the same day, roughly the same time, for a couple of weeks now. So applaud me.
Yay!
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. It's so painstaking.
That is now weird. You know how Jose used to feel.
I think he's known for some time.
Oh, I've argued. I've known for 10 years, Darrell.
I know. I just love mentioning Jose sometimes, man, because I was the reason why it was so painstaking for him.
Oh, it would be way, way, way worse if we were following by the old rules. I just don't even worry about that stuff anymore because I'd go crazy.
Yeah. 99 F-bombs.
Oh, boy. Even I'm known to do them sometimes.
Yeah, I put one in today. Just
fuck's sake.
I got one planned. Let's just say that.
Oh, he's teasing.
So would that be a plan B or a plan F?
Right. All right. Okay. Yeah, so again, thank you for listening. Please share the podcast with anyone you think would be interested in listening to it. We're always here. And until next time, science rules.
America! Fuck yeah! Say who's coming to save the motherfucking day now, America! Fuck yeah! Porn is the only way. Why, man, your game is through. Because now you have to answer to... Dashitara, dashitara, itsuka aeru kai, sekai kara, koyoi futari, kiete shimatte mo.